So, last week was the 20th anniversary of our son Joshua's death. He was just 8 years old. It's a milestone we want to acknowledge and thank God he's brought us this far. We'd like to reflect and share with you just a little of what God has done with us and through us and in us in that time. So, 20 years ago, we found ourselves members of a club that nobody wants to join. A bewildered bunch of bereaved parents who had experienced the death of a child, be it in the womb, at birth, as a toddler, teenager, or adult child, through all sorts of tragic circumstances, such as illness, accident, or suicide. We found ourselves singing this song that we've just sung, Blessed Be Your Name, together with other bereaved parents. Beautiful words. But for me, I really struggled with that chorus, you give and take away, because I really didn't believe that God had chosen to give and then take away Joshua's life. But it kind of felt like that was what was intimated. So I asked myself, there's truth in that. What do you give and take away? And I found that I was able to sing those words, that chorus, in a new way, because he showed me that he does give hope and he takes away despair. He gives joy and he takes away sadness. He gives beauty for ashes. He gives laughter and wipes away tears. He gives life and takes away death. And so as we look back, and I hope you can see too that he gives us purpose in our pain.
So our Joshua died in 2001 when he was 8 years old of an inoperable brain tumour. We knew from the sudden diagnosis that there was no hope short of a miracle. And indeed, 21 days from this diagnosis, Josh died in my arms at home. For us, life changed forever. We had to learn to live alongside his loss, his absence being present in everything we did. Things will never be the same, but in time, we believe they could be good, albeit in a different way. Following COVID-19, we're all experiencing grief, loss, and anxiety on a global scale. The world is more aware of loss and separation and is forced to acknowledge the reality and tragedy of death. Emotions we personally are all too familiar with and have lived with since Joshua died. We faced a painful new normal to family life, knowing we'd never get over it, but we could learn to live with it. We've seen our capacity for living well increase and our hearts enlarged to the pain of others. We've learned to lament, being real and honest with God about our feelings. We've had to let go of hopes and dreams we had for family life, of control, and become more familiar with an uncertain future. Psalm 23 says, "When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you." Those three words were key for us. Firstly, we had to learn to walk, and we're still walking. It's a marathon and not a sprint, and we can't rush or cut the journey short. And secondly, there is a path through the valley. Even though we often felt paralyzed and unable to put one foot in front of the other. And thirdly, there is comfort in that we don't walk alone. God's presence is always with us, often silent, but never absent. So, what is our response to this tragedy in our lives? We made a choice to get better, not bitter, and to try to find God's promised presence and purpose in the pain. We can say that we've tried along the way to find ways of redeeming the loss of Joshua, and we've got a few examples to show you. So this is a picture of a mill in a mountain village near Huancayo in Peru, and we've sponsored children through the Peru Children's Trust for many years, and the work they do supporting orphan kids is marvelous. At Joshua's Thanksgiving, we decided to give donations in his memory to their work there. And the money raised was sufficient to build this factory, install a mill so the locals could mill their own flour and bake and sell bread. And then this is a lovely picture of a very great friend of our family and a parent at Danesfield who agreed to run the marathon in 2002 in memory of Joshua. And we took on the challenge of sponsorship and managed to raise £12,000 in his memory for Child Bereavement Trust and CLIC, that's Cancer and Leukemia in Children. And this is a lovely picture of Fort Joshua, and parents at Danesfield School in Marlow kindly built a play fort in the grounds of the school in Joshua's memory, and hundreds of children over the years have enjoyed creative play in it, outdoors. They absolutely love it and always talk to us about it.
So here's a picture of Paul and I looking somewhat fit back in the day, 8 years ago. So in memory of what would have been Joshua's 21st birthday, we walked the 50K Thames Path Challenge and we raised money for care for the family in the process. So we volunteered with this charity in the Bereaved Parents Network for 10 years, encouraging other bereaved parents to find hope and a way forward. It was demanding and challenging work, but the reward was great, seeing broken parents arrive with heavy, hopeless hearts, leave events at the end of the day with real hope for the future and the knowledge that they don't walk alone. Now we're going to look at another two photographs. One of the first projects that we initiated after Joshua's death is called The Loss of Someone Special. Many of Joshua's school friends were struggling with his death, not knowing whether it was okay to cry. Is it okay not to know what to do? Is it okay to be angry? I wanted to help them and the school. I found this lovely book called Waterbugs and Dragonflies. It's a children's book exploring loss and death. By using the allegory of the waterbug's short life under the water and their transformation as dragonflies above the water, it provided a really easy base for discussion for the children. I had permission from the publisher who wrote the book, and Karen Underwood at Created and the Springs Dance Company came together to collaborate to interpret this story of waterbugs and dragonflies into a powerful dance presentation. So look, what we're looking at here is the water bugs on the left-hand side, bugging around, having fun underneath the lily pad. And then one of them dies and climbs up the lily stalk and transforms into this beautiful dragonfly, a dragonfly with a new life, safe in the knowledge that his friends would join him one day. So as well as impacting the Danesfield children, which is where Sophie and Josh both went to school, it was rolled out to other schools across the country and helped children learn to talk about loss and support one another, be that the loss of a pet, a grandparent, or most unusually, another fellow pupil. So Paul and I were thinking about how to mark this significant date, this 20th anniversary, and our journey so far. We're thinking about this back in February. We knew there was a sculpture exhibition at the Harleford Golf Club, which is very close to where we live, and we ambled over one afternoon to have a look. James Doran Webb usually exhibits at the Chelsea Flower Show every year, but not this year because of COVID. So he asked whether he could use the grounds at Harleford, and some of his driftwood sculptures were shown here. Most of them are huge, so there was no, and they're very expensive, so there was no way that we were going to be interested in buying one, so we thought we'd just enjoy the afternoon. But there we found this beautiful dragonfly, and we just immediately loved it and felt it's such a significant reminder of the hope that we have, that we will see Joshua again. James Doran Webb has called it Touchdown 7, which we think is a really fun name, and just imagine Josh touching down in heaven. And it's a very special little tribute to him in our garden now. So these are photographs of Joshua's grave. Sophie and Joshua were both born in Medenham, where we live now. And so it seemed the perfect place for him to be buried, in the graveyard there at St. Peter and St. Paul's Church, which is just down the road from where we are now. So every year, it's lovely that a footprint service is held there, which is just before Mother's Day, for bereaved parents to take time out to reflect and remember their child. And we help the vicar, the local vicar there, to run that service and pray with people after the service and contribute a little bit to the creativity. It's so lovely for us too that Danesfield School children have a nature walk through the graveyard each year, and they find Joshua's grave and they discover that there's a football engraved on the back, which you can see down on the right hand corner of the back of the stone. We love it too that they see this inscription, "Alive with God," and they're able to ask questions about that. So this has been going on now for 20 years. And this is our living hope engraved on his stone, that Joshua is indeed alive with God, and we will be reunited with him in time. Over time, the quartz veins that you can see running through the Cumbrian slate, they've become more and more evident. They've become more and more evident as the years have gone, and somehow the stone has grown. And this reminds us, this beautiful thread, that God is with us, running right through the centre of it all.
So we wanted to just give just one or two reflections, one or two things that we've learned on our journey. And I guess the first was, when our lives hit a crisis, it's only natural to ask God to make it go away, you know, solve the problem, help us out, or change our circumstances. But as we know, life is messy and complicated, and we're not promised a smooth ride. Indeed, he works with us and gently changes us. And we learn to persevere, to develop muscle, to be thankful, to be brave, and to learn to trust him on a daily basis.
For me, I came to realise that I had to let go of the need to know, the why. I searched and searched for answers. I wanted a theological framework for processing this loss, to understand why. I read countless books. I've got an enormous bereaved parent loss library. But it wasn't helping. I then read and was reminded in Ephesians that to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, that it was my heart that needed to know the love of God, not my head. To know his love and experience his love is greater than any head knowledge or answers that I could ever have found. And so I learned that the absolute and simplest essence is God is love. I know that sounds simple, but the way he revealed his love to us in the years to come has always been quite extraordinary and not how we expected at all. And I learned that any expression of God is, any expression of love is God. Even though at many times God felt absent, love was coming to us in so many myriad and different ways. Primroses appeared on our doormat. For 7 days after Josh died, Sophie would open the front door, and there the doormat would be full of primroses before she went off to school. And it gave her joy, and it gave us joy. And it made us realise that's love, that's God's love coming to us. And it gave us hope. Then there was that six-pack of beer that arrived for Paul, just when he was really tired and exhausted, and I hadn't been shopping, and we'd run out of wine and everything else, and he was really looking forward to having a beer. And I was so sorry that I hadn't got any. And then there was this little tap-tap on the front door, Paul went to the door, and there it was, just what he needed. So you may think that's funny, but we just think that's God's love and God's sense of humour. So through all of these sorts of unexpected things that happen to us, through neighbours and friends and family, one of the main ways that God's love is evident is in the loving presence of God's people, and that's you.
I think for me, I think we've discovered there is more mystery to our faith and more reality to our hope. We've more questions than answers, but we've become more comfortable with that mystery, and we have more focus on our hope. And hope is about the future, but it's also for the present, because it gives energy for now and keeps us going and helping us to live well. And through our loss, we can empathize with other people's pains and struggles. And as you know, as it says in Corinthians, we also may be able to encourage those who are in trouble or distress with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. At first, this was evident when we got alongside bereaved families, but now we often find ourselves comforting folk in a much wider mix of painful situations and circumstances. We've learned not just to survive our loss, but to grow in it. So for Sarah and I, Joshua's death doesn't define us, but it has given us a defining message of love and hope.
So we've got a few photos to show you now while the Father's Song plays. The Father's Song has become very, very special to us. It's a song of love that he sent for us straight after Josh died. And we're going to play that now while we just look at a few photographs of Josh growing up with his beautiful sister Sophie and some family memories.
I've heard so many songs, listened to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony, you are singing over me, the Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery, the King of Love has sent for me, and now you're singing over me, the Father's song. I have heard so many songs, listened to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. Thank you, Lord. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony, you are singing over me, the Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery, the King of Love has sent for me, and now you're singing over me, the Father's song. Let us hear your song over us tonight, oh God. Song of your grace, the song of your love. Yeah, sing it over us, baby. the Creator's symphony. You are singing over me the Father's song, the Father's song, the Father's love. You sung it over me, and for eternity it's written on my heart. You've written it in love, you've written it in grace, into the depths of our hearts, Father.
We just wanted to finish with a couple of beautiful words that were written by my mum.
There will always be an empty space in our hearts that can only be filled with precious memories of Josh, a little boy who lived his life to the full and had compassion for others beyond his years. Our lives have been enriched through knowing him, and we thank God for all the happiness he gave us.
Mum also wrote this beautiful poem: a precious stone, not chipped or broken by worldly cares, nor fashioned or yet polished, preserved to be a perfect jewel, fit to be set in God's heavenly crown. You know, the Father's song is just a beautiful song of love. It's a message of love. It's something that's very precious to us, but it's a song of love to all of us. And I thought, before that we move on to the, having bread and wine together, I just thought, let's just have a little time of quiet and reflection. And we can just, for all of us, consider the Father's love to us, how he is singing over all of us, because that is the nature of Father.